Today's shir is Masecht Baba Metzia, Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis at the Gemara after the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. We had begun to learn at our previous shir the halacha of the Mishnah spoke about somebody found a document in the street, the Shtar Chayv in the street, and we don't know who was the one that dropped it. Was it the loiva, and that represents that he had paid back the shtar chayv, he had paid back the loan, and that when one pays back the loan, the malva returns the shtar chayv to the loiva, and that's what happened here. Or was it the malva who dropped it because the loan was never repaid, and now the malva was asking for, the malva was entitled to his money? The Mishnah, in answering this question, began a discussion of, well, is there a achrayis clause in this document? The achrayis clause, as we're going to be learning in our coming shiurim, represents that if somebody borrows money from someone else and he doesn't have the ability to pay back any assets that he had sold, we'll see what assets that he had sold from after the loan took place, are mortgaged to that loan. And Ramey said, well, if there's a chrayis in the document, so it's not just the malva and loiva who are now parties to this discussion, it's also the person who might have bought properties from the loiva after the time of the loan. And if there's a chrayis in the document, then the halacha is that we can't return it to the malva. The Rabbanan said that even if there is no achrayis clause in the document, we can't give it to the malva. The Rabbanan introduced the concept of achrayis tar sofer, that any document that even if the achrayis is not written into the document, the halacha is that it's automatically assumed to be there, and if it wasn't there, it was a mistake on the part of the sofer who didn't put it in. That was what we learned in the Mishnah. We begin now the Gemara by Maya Skinen. Exactly what is the case of the Mishnah? Ask the Gemara, Ilema, if we'll suggest that speaking about Keshechayiv Moida, that the person, that the loiva admits that this document is a relevant document and that he has not paid off the debt and that he, and therefore it should be given to the malva. Kiyesh ben achrayis nechassim. So ask the Gemara, even if there is this achrayis nechassim in this document, why should we not give back the document to the malva? Hamayda, isn't the loiva moida that he owes the money? Isn't the loiva moida that he owes the money to? And so, of course, the Ramban asks that yes, a loiva haydos baldin kameya edim dami. And if somebody walks in and admits that he owes the money, that should be a reason to give him back the money. But the question, get back the malva, the shtar. But as we just explained in our introductory remarks, it's not just the malva who is now, it's just not the malva and loiva who are issues. It's also the lekuchis. So even if we'll say, haydos baldin kamei edim dami, it can't be at the detriment for those lekuchis. Says the Ramban, that what the Gemara here means to say is that indeed we can never go after the lekuchis. What the Ramban means to say is that it should be at least a good enough shtar for the malva. We should give back the shtar to the malva that it should be able to collect from the loiva. The Ritva says that even if the other people may be adversely affected, the Gemara right now doesn't see a reason why the loiva should admit that the shtar is a relevant shtar, even if it affects other people. And therefore, the question here is, why shouldn't we give back the shtar to the malva? And the Sefer Zichron Shmuel says, what is the basis of the machloikis of the Ramban? So we have a very fundamental machloikis between the Ramban and Ritva. If the Gemara is now suggesting that if the loiva admits that this shtar is still relevant, so it should be given back to the malva, will when we give it back to the Malva, the Ramban says he'll only be able to collect from the Loiva, and the Ritva says he'll even be able to collect from the Lekuchas. What is the Machlaikas? So the Einish Shmuel, Zichron Shmuel explains that the Pasuk says that the question is, how do we understand the Halacha of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edom Dami? What the Ramban says, it's a special limud in the Torah. And that limud of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edom Dami was only said when it doesn't adversely affect anyone else. The Ritva says that Hadas Baldin Kamei Edom Dami is not a new Halacha. Hadas Baldin is a svara. It's logical. If I admit that I owe you money, there's nothing stronger than that. And that logic is still so strong, says the Ritva, that even if it's not just I who will be adversely affected with this admission, but others will as well be adversely affected with admission, that is the strength of Hadas Baldin Kamei Edom Dami. V'ibish Eim B'chai Moida, continues the Gemara, and if we're referring to a situation where the loiva is not admitting that he still owes the money, so why should there be a difference? Ki ein ben achrayis nechosim nami mayachser, even if there's no achrayis nechosim clause in the shtar, ne the loigavim mishabdi. Because even if we'll say if there's no achrayis nechosim, you can't go after the lekuchas. However, b'nei chayrim megvigavi, they're going to be able to go after the loiva. And the loiva's saying that I paid up this document already. So how would we be able to understand this? What is the case of the Mishnah? So the Achronim ask a question. Well, if it's before the due date, don't we have a rule in Shas that people normally don't pay up their debts before the due date? So shouldn't the fact that the date of the shtar shows that it's before the due date be a raya that it hasn't been paid up? Says the Seir Achronim that even though we have such a rule throughout Shas that we assume that people haven't paid up their debts before the due date, the doesn't take away the ability for the loiva to make such a claim. So the way I understand what the Achronim mean to say is that we won't entertain such an assumption. But if we see the loiva, or we hear the loiva expressly saying that that's what's happening, of course we'll accept what he says. Answers the Gemara, we're going to have to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, kishchayv moida, that the loiva is admitting that he still owes the money. So what's the concern? Why don't we give back the shtar? So why don't we just give back the shtar to the malva? Says the Gemara, the chashin and shemekos of livus benissen. Our concern is that he borrowed the money in Nissan, but really, Lovat Tishrei, but the loan did not take place until Tishrei. As we said in our introductory remarks, the halacha is that any asset that the loiva sold after the date of the debt, the assets that were sold are mortgaged to the debt. But the key component is that they were sold after the date. So if the date is Nissan, but it wasn't until Tishrei, so any assets that were sold between Nissan and Tishrei are actually not mortgaged to this debt. And therefore, those people may be adversely affected, and that's why we can't pay back. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that people, if somebody wrote a shtar in Nissan, why would we say that he only borrowed the money in Tishrei? Why would you say that? Isn't it obvious that the fact that the date is in Nissan, that it's a proof that that's when the loan took place? So I saw that the Sfarim explained there's something that happened here which is unusual, that the shtar fell. People don't normally drop their shtaris. The fact that the shtar fell seems to be an indication that something unusual happened here. And since we have an indication that something unusual happened here, that is the reason to be concerned that even though normally if the date of a shtar is a Nisan, that's presumably when the loan took place, here, because it fell, that leads us to be concerned that something happened, and maybe what happened was that the debt was written for Nisan, but it actually took place in Tishrei. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's what happened, Koshtar Dosel Kamon, that we're concerned that even though the date is Nisan, it didn't actually take place. The loan did not take place actually till Tishrei. So ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, Koshtar Dosel Kamon, any shtar that comes in front of us, Nechish Lo Ihachi, why should we not be concerned? Answers the Gemara, Koshtar Ilari, most shtars, we see what we have. But here, Hani Reya, because as we just explained, the shtar fell down, and that's why we have the reason to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechet Baba Basra, teaches us, Kaisim Shtar Laloiva, Api Shei Malvi Imay. We write a shtar for the loiva, even though the malva's not there. And the reason is because the one that's losing from the shtar is the loiva, because the shtar indicates that he owes money. So if the loiva comes into the cipher and says, write a document that I owe somebody money, why shouldn't we write such a shtar? But now ask the Gemara, how can we take this position that such a shtar could be written? Why should we not be concerned? Why should we not be concerned that the shtar was written for Nisan? However, for Leilava Atishrei, and then the actual loan took place in Tishrei. And what's going to happen is, we're going to take from the Lekuchas and properly, because we're going to count the Lekuchas from Nisan, but really, the only Lekuchas that are mortgaged are from Tishrei. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Asi, here we're speaking about B'shtar Hakna, when there was a shtar that was written, and at the time of the signing of the shtar, there was an agreement that even whether the loan will take place now, or whether the loan will not take place now, he becomes mortgaged to pay for it. The Shabbat Nafshei, at that point he undertook that he is obligated himself and all of his assets to repayment of that loan. So now the obligation began in Nisan. And if the obligation began in Nisan, the fact that the actual loan only took place in Tishrei becomes irrelevant. So the Rishonim try to understand, what does this mean, a shtar haknah? Some Rishonim explain that this type of shtar comes with this type of obligation. And some say that, of course, normally an obligation only begins at the time of the actual loan. But here, there was a separate clause that the people in the shtar took upon themselves that even if though the loan didn't actually yet take place, he's going to be obligated to pay it. Yochi, ask the Gemara, if we're learning now that that's what makes the shtar of our Mishnah special, because it's a shtar haknah, Yochi, in every shtar which is not shtar haknah, Masis in the Tani, our Mishnah says, Im yesh ben achrayis nachosim, lo yachzer. If we're going to say that if there's an achrayis nachosim in the shtar, then we can't give it back, because we have to be concerned about the lekuchas. V'kimna, and the way we're explaining that our Mishnah is the case of our Mishnah, is shechayiv moedu, where the loiva is actually admitting that he owes the money. And the whole concern why we can't give back the shtar to the malva, because we need to be concerned, shema kosov lovas benissen, maybe the date of the shtar is Nisan. However, v'loy lava Tishrei, it didn't take place until Tishrei. V'as lemitrev lekuchas loy kedin, and we're going to take money from the lekuchas improperly because the mortgage did not yet start. But ask the Gemara, my lo yachzer, why is that the halacha? Nechsi ishtar haknah if the Mishnah is speaking about Ishtar HaKnah, and that we're learning now by Ishtar HaKnah, the Shibud begins, at the obligation begins, at the date of the Shtar. So the question is, Hashabed Nafshei, the Loiva undertook this obligation. Viv Shtar, the Loi HaKnah, and if it's not this special type of Shtar, Lekel HaMechish. We don't have to be concerned. The Amrit, Kileka Malva Badei Leka Svinim. So Gemara's question is like this. The only type of shtar that can be written for the loiva without the malva there is when you have a shtar that the obligation begins at the time of the shtar. So there it doesn't make, there we don't have to worry that maybe the lekuchas are being cheated. They're not being cheated because the obligation began on the date of the shtar. And if it's a shtar that's not this type, this special type of shtar, it's not this type of shtar of shtar HaKnah. So there, the halacha that the Mishnah Masechta Babasra teaches us, that we only write a shtar at, we can write a shtar for the loiva without the malva there, wouldn't be applicable. Rather, the halacha would be that you have to have the malva there. And if you have to have the malva there and the loiva there and the loan taking place on the date of the shtar, the concern that we've been learning in our shiur today, that maybe the date is Nisan, but the actual loan only took place in Tishrei, wouldn't be there. So again, if the loiva is admitting that he still owes the money, why should we return the shtar to the malva? We don't have to be concerned that the date is Nisan, but the loan didn't take place till Tishrei. The Amrit, because we're learning now, Kileka Malva Badei, if the Malva's not here, Loika Svinan, we wouldn't write the Shtar if the loan didn't take place. Answers the Gemara, Amalok Ravasi, Afagav the Shtar de Lava Kno, Kileka Malva Badei Loika Svinan, we won't write it without the Malva and the loan actually taking place. Masnisen, our Mishnah is teaching us a new halacha, and that is, Kivan the Nuffel, as since the Shtar fell, Israelay, that is a proof, that is an indication. And as I said a few moments ago, because everything is min shemayim, and the hashgacha protis that this shtar fell is not coincidental. It must be that maybe the Bezdin has to say, think, that maybe there's something, there's a message being sent to him min shemayim. The chashinin, and what we need to be concerned about is Dilma Ikri Vikosov, that even though the halacha doesn't say, the halacha says that the malva and the loiva and the loan and the actual loan should all take place on the date of the shtar. Maybe that's not what happened. But our Gemara now introduced a new concept that if we see something that causes us to have a question, that is a reason for us to question what really is happening here. And that this question many poskim discuss is relevant to a question if somebody finds mezuzahs in Sheamus, or other or tefillin in Sheamus, what will be the halacha? Can they look fine. Can they be used? Or is the fact that they're in Sheamus, the halacha is an indication that there must be something wrong with this mezuzah, with this tefillin? The Mishnah Berurah, at Simel Amites, Sivkot Nechavches, says that if somebody finds tefillin in Sheamus, and the ritzuas of the tefillin are not connected, and the tefillin are open, the boxes of the tefillin, that's an indication that these are not kosher tefillin. But if the tefillin are found in Sheamus, and they look perfectly fine, the ritzuas are connected to the tefillin, the boxes are fine, the halacha is that we don't have to be concerned, and the halacha is that the tefillin are fine. Even though that by shtar, we're learning the fact that the shtar was found on the floor causes us to have all sorts of questions. Here, the halacha is that it might be different. People are careful that the shtaris that they drop should be, that they won't drop shtaris, they won't drop documents that indicate the money is owed to them. On the other hand, even though the tefillin, the mezuzahs look fine, there might be a psul, there might be a disqualification that we can't notice. For example, the halacha is a mezuzah that is written shloika sidrin. Every word of the mezuzah has to be written in the proper order. You can't go back. That's a disqualification that you cannot find, that ever notice. And maybe that's what happened to this mezuzah, and that's why it was put into the Seamus. So the Paiskim say that it seems that it depends how it's put into the Seamus. Very interesting. If they're put into the Seamus in a way that shows that they're disqualified, like I said, the tefillin not in there, not in the batim, the tefillin without the ritzuas, that are not connected, all of that is a sign that there's something wrong. But if that everything looks fine, and the same if the mezuzah looks like it's rolled up properly, in all these cases, it seems that the Pesach can take a lenient approach, and we assume that maybe somebody wanted to buy new tefillin, wanted to buy new mezuzahs, or sometimes people find tefillin mezuzahs and they put them into Seamus, and therefore that we could be lenient. Continues the Gemara. Abaye Amar. Abaye says a whole different approach. Abaye goes back to the Mishnah Masechta Bava Basra. And the Mishnah Bava Basra said, Kaisu shtar l'loiva. We could write a shtar for the loiva afa pisha e malvi imoi, even though the malva is not there. Abaye Amar, Eda b'chasuma zaycheloi. The signature that they sign on the shtar, it creates the obligation. So Rav Asi said that there's something called shtar aknah. The shtar aknah is a special type of shtar that makes you obligated even though the loan didn't take place. Abaye is taking a different approach. Abaye's approach is that as soon as the edim sign on the shtar, that's the moment that the obligation begins. And there's a number of ways in Rishonim how to understand this. One, the simplest pshat in the Rishonim is that this person who's borrowing the money is willing to undertake the obligation even though he didn't take the money until Tishrei. But he's willing to undertake the obligation that from the date of the shtar, even though it didn't take place yet. So of course the Rishonim asked the question that often we learn in Shas, the concept of Shtari Magdamim, that a predated Shtar is disqualified. And here we're learning that there's absolute Abaye says that every Shtar that's predated is fine. How do we learn the Halach of Shtari Magdamim? So the Rishonim Rashi explains the definition of a Shtar Mugdam, says Rashi, is not that it's predated. Rather, he explains the definition of a shtar mugdim is that the date of the shtar and the date that the edim signed the shtar are not the same date. That's the definition of a shtar mugdim. But if the date of the shtar and the date of the signature are one and the same, that is not called a shtar mugdim, even if the loan did not take place earlier. Some Rishonim, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, some Rishonim have somewhat of a different approach to this Gemara. And they take the approach that really a predated shtar ought not to be considered kosher. The reason it's kosher is because Chazal made a new rule that a shtar, even though the date is prior to the actual loan, that the date of the shtar stands. So again, says the Gemara, Abaye Amar, Eda b'chasamav zochen lo, that the date that they signed creates the mortgage. And this halacha, I feel a shtar delayakna by every shtar. What forced Abaye to say this, to take this approach? Why wasn't he satisfied with Rav Asi's approach of shtar in akna? Says the Maram Mishum de Kashle. He had the following question. Kivin the Amrit, the shtar delayakna, kilesa b'mavabade loikasvinin, if we're learning that if it's a shtar aknah, that's where the Mishnah Masechta Bava Basra says we could write for the shtar for the loiva, even though the malva is not there. By every other shtar, we don't need to be concerned. So he says, lek lemechesh tikri v'kosov. So then we asked, if that's the case, why, if the loiva is admitting that he wrote the shtar, don't we give it back to the malva? And the Gemara said, because there's a problem here, because the shtar was found on the floor, says Abaya, I don't subscribe to that concern. I don't concern to a concern that the shtar being found on the floor is a proof that maybe something wasn't done properly. Ask the Gemara, Elohadot Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechta, Baba Metzia, the Fiyot Chesom and Aleph teaches us, Matzegitin Nashav Shechuri Vadim, if somebody found a get, or somebody found a document that if Eved Kanani was freed, Daitki, that somebody who's a Shechimera Rachman Slan, and he writes a Tzava, Matana, or somebody wrote a gift document, Veshayvim a receipt, and we don't know who is the one that wrapped it, the loch is Hareza Loyachser. We don't give it back to any to either party, because we need to be concerned. Shem Ksum Hayu, maybe they were written, and then Nimel Chalayim Shalai Litnam. So we can't know what is the story with this document. So Shaval Tasa, we don't give it back to anybody. But ask the Gemara, V'chi Nimel Chalayim Mayhavi, what's the difference if it was actually given or not? Didn't Abaye say that as soon as the Edom signed the document, the obligation kicks in? Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, when does Abaye say the concept of Edom Chasum of Zocheloi? Hani Mili, Heichad Kamat Aliyadei, when they were ultimately given over to the person that the shtar was written to. If the shtar was never even given over, we don't say just because it was written, it automatically becomes activated. Ask the Gemara, Elamas Nisan Diktani, ask the Gemara on a bay from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Matzah Shtar Rechayiv, if you find a Shtar Rechayiv. So the Mishnah differentiated, Im Yesh Bayechnais Nechosim Layachser. For Kimna, we began today's shiur by explaining that what is the case of our Mishnah, Shechayiv Moida, that the loiva admits that he owes the money. And the reason that we don't give back the shtar, even though the loiva is admitting that he still owes the money, because Mishum Shema Kosov Lovos B'Nissen, because even though the date is written in Nissen, but maybe the date, the actual loan, Loi Lova Tishrei, did not take place until Tishrei. And if we'll give back the shtar to the loiva, as we explained at the beginning of our shir, it'll turn out that the Lekuchis may be cheated. Bishlama, Lerav, Asi Damar, a coach of Asi that says that only Bishtari Eknaisa is the halacha that as soon as the shtar is written, the obligation kicks in. So he'll explain that our Mishnah is speaking about shtari de lava knaisa. The Mishnah is speaking about a case which is not a shtar akna, and that's why we have the concern that even though the loiva is admitting that the shtar was written and the date of the shtar, and the loiva is admitting that he still owes the money, but we have to be concerned that maybe the loan didn't take place till many months later, and if we give back the shtar to the malva, the lekuchis will be cheated. Ella by the omer. But according to Bai, that every shtar, when does the obligation on the lekuchis become activated? On the date of the shtar, because Eda b'chasumim zocheloi. As soon as the Edom signed the shtar, that's when the shtar gets activated. And that's when the lien on the lekuchis gets activated. So Mayik Lameimer, if the Mishnah is speaking about a case that the loiva admits that he still owes the money, why should we not, in our Mishnah, give back the shtar to the malva? Says Abaya, in order to explain our Mishnah, Amul Chabaya, Masnisen Hainatama, the way to understand the Mishnah is because we have a new concern, and that is the Chayesh Leparon LeKanunya. Maybe the loiva paid back the money to the malva. And now we need to be concerned about a conspiracy taking place between the loiva and the malva. And the shtar will be found in the street. The loiva will say that he owes still the money. The malva will be happy to say, yes, the money's still owed to me. The loiva will then say, I don't have any means to pay up the loan. They'll go after the lekuchis. And all of this is just a charade. And it's all being done that the malva should be able to collect from a shtar that really was paid up, and therefore they'll be able to divide this money, which the loiver is not really entitled to. And that's why, even though the loiver is admitting that he paid the shtar, that he didn't pay, we can't right away be quick to accept what he says. So the Tosfos Shantz explains that this concern should only play place if the loiver doesn't have the ability to pay. But if the loiver has the ability to pay, so says the Tosfos Shantz, that according to this explanation, we would return the shtar to the malva. The only reason we're not returning the shtar to the malva is because we're concerned that he and the loiver and the malva conspired to cheat the lekuchas. But if the loiver is going to be the one to pay, because the loiver still has the ability to pay, then that concern would go away. That's one point. That's a point that the Tosfos Shantz makes. Says the Gemara, Ul Shmuel Damar, according to Shmuel, that says, Loichashin Leproin, that somebody finds a shtar aknoa. Shmuel teaches us on that Tez Zayin on the base. You could give back the shtar to the malva. Loichashin Leproin Ul Kanunya. And he's not concerned that it was really paid up and there's a conspiracy taking place here between the malva and the loiva. Michael Amemer, how will Shmuel explain our Mishnah? Because now we're learning that the entire concern is that really the loiva paid up and there's this conspiracy, but Shmuel doesn't accept that this conspiracy theory. Says the Gemara, Hanicha Isavala Karavasi, Damar, Bishtarkna, if we'll say that Shmuel agrees with Rav Asi, that there's a special, that even though a shtar cannot be collected, you can't rely on a date until you can't go after the lekuchas until the loan actually took place. But a shtar haknoah is an exception. So he's going to explain that our Mishnah speaking the way you can follow the date, but he's going to say that our Mishnah shtar de lav haknoah, elis of a kabaya, if he holds like a kabaya, that every shtar, dom edem chasumim zocheloi, that as soon as the shtar is written, the date of the shtar is what activates the loan. And the concern that maybe the loiver is just saying this, just to be able, because he has conspiracy going with the malva, Shmuel doesn't agree with such a concern. So Michael Amemer, says the Gemara, Shmuel, Mukimas Nisan, Shmuel's going to have to explain that our Mishnah speaking about a case, She'ein Chayiv Moida, that the loiver is not admitting that he owes the money, and therefore, he's not admitting that he owes the money. We can't just give back the shtar to the malva because maybe the money is not old. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that the loiver is not admitting that he owes the money, so what's the difference if it has a chrayas nechasim or it doesn't have a chrayas nechasim? Yehochi came by a chrayas nechasim even if it doesn't have a chrayas nechasim. So the Mishnah seemed to indicate, Ramei seemed to indicate, Amai Yachzer, why could you give it back? Nedalai Gavi Mimashabdi. Yes, they won't be going after the lekuchas because there is no clause in this shtar that obligates the lekuchas. However, b'nei charim migvigavi, they're going to go after the other assets. And if going to go after the other assets, that may be improper because they maybe indeed don't. The loiver is saying, I don't owe the money. How can we just go give back the shtar to the malva? Answers the Gemara, Shmuel Tamei. Dama Shmuel, Oymahoy Rameya, Shtar Choiv, Shein by Chrayas Nechasim, a Shtar Choiv that doesn't have this clause, ain't Goyver by Leib Meshavdi of Leib Nechayri, it's a meaningless Shtar. Why? Srashi says that if you don't have in the Shtar this clause, it becomes like a Milva Peh. And if it becomes a Milva Peh, then the Loch is, you can't just collect from the loiva. And the Ramban, explaining Rashi's Pshat, says, because the Torah tells us, the Pasuk tells us, how a shtar should be written. The Pasuk says, V'kosev b'sefer v'chassoyim v'hoyed edem. A Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud. So the Torah is, the Pasuk in Navi is exactly describing how a shtar should be written. And if the shtar isn't written that way, then it's not a shtar. The Ravid has a different approach. The Ravid says if somebody borrows money and there is no achrayis written in the shtar, nobody writes such a shtar. And if nobody's going to lend money without having guarantees how to get his money back. And the fact that this shtar was written that way is a proof that this shtar is meaningless. And I saw the Tosfos Shanz, it says that the fact that there's no achrayis nechosim in the shtar is a proof that the shtar is false and a forgery. So really, Tosfos Shanz is taking a very different approach. His approach is that the fact that the shtar is missing this important clause is an indication that it's not that this is a forgery. The other Rishonim don't necessarily take such a strong approach that it's necessarily a false shtar. They just don't want to give it the strength of a milveh b'shtar. They say a shtar without a achrayis nechosim has to be reduced only to the status of a milveh apeh. So ask the Gemara. So let's understand. We're learning now that Shmuel holds that if the shtar doesn't have a achrayis nechosim, we can't collect with it from anyone. And we're learning now that if the loiver is noida, then we give it, and there's no achrayis nechosim, we'll give it back to the malva. But ask the Gemara, v'chime achashen goiva, if it's not usable, a mayachzer, so what's the point of giving it back to the malva? Says the Gemara, Amrav Nosson by Oishia, lotza apitz l'chusoy, shamava. He could use it as a bottle cap. So ask the Gemara, from the Hadra l'loiver, if it's a useless star, and all it could be used is for a bottle cap, so why are we giving it to the malva to use as a bottle cap? Why don't we give it to the loiva? Lotza plichusa shaloiva. Answers the Gemara, loiva d'amar lohaya dvar ma'olam. According to the loiva, that's not admitting that this star is a valid star, so it's meaningless. So you shouldn't give the loiva something which is totally incorrect. Whereas the malva, even though the halacha will not give him the ability to collect with the shtar, but still, the malva is saying that the shtar has some value. It's a meaning, it was an honest shtar. So if we're going to decide who should get it back as a battle cap, we'll give it to the malva, not to the loiva. So according to Vasi and according to Baya, the Mishnah is speaking about a case that the loiva is admitting that he owes the money. The machloikis, however, is according to Rasi, we're going to be concerned that the shtar was written in Nisan, but the date was only in Tishrei, and therefore the lekuchis will be cheated, and therefore if it has a chrayis nechosim, we can't give it back. According to the Baya, the concern is that every shtar, the date is when the lekuchis become obligated, but we need to be concerned that there might have been a conspiracy here between the malva and the loiva. And according to Shmuel, the Mishnah speaking, but according to Rav Asi and Abaya, the Mishnah speaking about a case that the loiva admits that he still owes the money, whereas according to Shmuel, the Mishnah speaking about a case where the loiva doesn't admit that he still owes the money, and the fact that it doesn't have a chrayis nechosim downgrades the shtar to be unusable, and the reason it's returned to the malva to use as a baal cap. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar, machloikis. Again, the Gemara is still delving into trying to understand what is the case of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Elazar, machloikis, the machloikis Rameya and the Chachamim, if a shtar that doesn't have a chrayis nechosim, can we return it to the malva or not? Is b'shein chai moida. In a case where the loiva doesn't admit to the when the loiva says, I don't owe the money, he says, the shtar is a forgery. The Ramei Sava, shtar she'en be'o achrayis nechosim, a shtar that doesn't have this achrayis nechosim, ain't goyva loiva m'shavdi loiva m'nechayrim, it becomes a meaningless shtar, and therefore, there's no reason not to give back the shtar to the malva. Rabbanan Tzavri, but the Rabbanan's opinion is, mikve goyvi, it is, according to them, a valuable shtar, and therefore the halacha is that we have to be concerned that since, as we said earlier in the shiur, the shtar was found on the floor, that causes a concern, and therefore we can't give it back not to the loiva, not to the malva. But according to this understanding, shechayiv moida, if the loiva admits that he returned, that he still owes the money, the reako yachzer, everybody is going to be agree that we could give back the shtar to the malva, and this concern that we raised earlier in the shiur, that there might have been a conspiracy between the loiva and the malva, we're not concerned about that. Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain the Mishnah as follows. The machloikis between Rabbanan Rameyer and our Mishnah is speaking about a case, shechayiv moida, that the loiva admits that he borrowed and has not yet paid back. The Rameyer saw a shtar, shem by achrayis nechosim, a shtar that doesn't have the achrayis nechosim, that halach is, mimashabdihu de legavi, cannot be used to collect from the lekuchas. Av of mnei chayri, you can use it to collect from the loiva's assets. And if that's the case, then when the loiva is admitting that he still owes the money, we're not worried that they're going to go after the lekuchas, because the lekuchas are not in the shtar. There's no achrayis nechasim. And therefore, if the loiva admits that he owes the money, we'll give back the shtar to the malva. Rabbanan Savri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanan is, Mimshabdi Nami Govi, that even if the shtar does not have in it the clause of achrayis, the halacha is you still could go after the lekuchas. Because they hold achrayis to a sofer. The fact that it was admitted just represents a mistake on the part of the sofer. If that's the case, if the shtar was found on the street, maybe we have to be concerned that there was a conspiracy between the loiva and the malva. And since we need to be concerned that there's a conspiracy between the loiva and the malva, even if the loiva is saying he owes the money, you can never give it back to him because the lekuchas may end up being cheated. Avol shein chayiv moida, in a case where the loiva doesn't admit that he still owes the money, the rehakol, Ramei and the Chachamim will all agree that lo yachzer, that we can't return, because we have to be concerned, the chashin leperon, we have to be concerned that maybe they paid up, and since they maybe paid, it was indeed paid up, and therefore, if we give the shtar back to the malva, the loiva will be cheated. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei, Rabbi Yochanan, we learned the brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, to yofted Rabbi Lozer b'chada, and there's going to be a question, Rabbi Lozer, based on this brisa, one question, but to yofted the Shmuel b'tarti, and based on this brisa, there'll be two questions on the opinion of Shmuel. Because the brisa says, Matzei shtar chayiv, even if the malva and moida and loiva moida that the money is still owed, lo yachzer, lo lozeh, v'lo lozeh. Because we have to be concerned that really it was paid up, and now the loiva and malva made this kanunya, this conspiracy. Continues the brisa, ein b'machrayis nechasim, b'zman shaloiva moida, if the loiva admits that he still owes the money, yachzer le malva. Ain't a loiva moida, but the loiva says that I don't owe the money. Lo yachz loy lezev loy lezev, divrei meyam. Shai remeya aimer, shtar sheyesh b'machrayis nechosim, a shtar that has a chrayis nechosim can be used to collect from the chosim shabadim. However, v'sh'ein b'machrayis nechosim, goyva b'machosim b'nei chayrim. And he holds that, and therefore, since there's no chrayis nechosim in the shtar, we don't go after them. And therefore he says that if the shtar doesn't have a chrayis nechasim, but the loiva, if the loiva is not moida, that he owes the money, we can't give it back. Presumably, if it'll be moida, there's no problem to give it back to the malva. Both shtaris, goyim nechasim shbadim, because a chrayis toyes soifer. And a chrayis toyes soifer, we always go after the lekuchas. And since we always go after the lekuchas, we need to be concerned about this kanunya about this conspiracy between the loiva and the malva. So therefore, even if the loiva admits that he still owes the money, it wouldn't make a difference. So this braisa clearly supports Rabbi Yochanan's understanding that he explained that the machlokes in the Mishnah between Ramei and Rabbanan is speaking about a case where the loiva admits that he still owes the money. And the question is, can you go after the lekuchis even if you don't have the clause of achrayis nechasim in that document?